Okay, we're both back. We were in the middle of the Gemara. We finished up our discussion of Bavel, but we left off before this funny questioning of Rav Eviatar. Right, so let's go back to let's continue where we left off. Rav Eviatar said, or Yasser as I grew up, that Gittin that come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you don't mean to say funny Nechtam. Why? Because Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael. Mitzad Lashma, Bavel knows Torah like Eretz Yisrael, and even Mitzad between Lekhaimo, since they have a lot of Talmidim traveling back and forth to the yeshivas, therefore, they recognize these signatures. So Amar of Yosef, we left off with, Mat Leim Lundarav of Yasser Bar Samchahu, who says that we, Rav Yasser, apparently he was not such a well-known figure, who says that he is reliable and we should accept his psak. Ve'od, not only that, we have a reason to think he's unreliable. Ha'ihu deshalach leidu Rav Yehuda, b'nei adam ha'olam yisham lakan, hein kimu ba'atzvam v'yitnu seyele bezona, v'yaldo machru v'yayin v'yishtu. He says this is a pasuk in Yoel, which is referring to the defeat of the Jews, the hands of their enemies in the persecution. But what he's saying is that the people who come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah in the yeshivas of Eretz Yisrael, they are mekayim on themselves this pasuk of Puranos, that they give the yelet for Zona. Most of the mafarshim here assume that Zona here, at least the way the Gemara is understanding it, Zona milashim Zonos, not necessarily milashim Znos. They gave their kids for money. They gave their kids for food. By Yaldemarch by Yayin, they sold the girl for wine and drink. What does this mean? Before we get into the relevance here, what does this mean? So here we have Machloksim, Rashi, and everyone else. Tosfos and all the other Rishonim take it closer to the pshat of the pasuk. They say that they used to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to learn yeshiva, and they would abandon their wife and kids at home, and they left no parnasa at home, and therefore the kids would end up getting sold or confiscated by the creditors because they had no money for food. And that's, they end up selling the kids for food and drink because they were not mefarnes their families. So it's a criticism of them abandoning their families without parnasa, which ended up with the kids being sold. Rashi here says something a bit different. Rashi, yeah, have to figure out exactly why he said this. We can speculate, but we can't know. Rashi says it doesn't mean that they left their kids and the kids were sold because they had no money back at home. Rather, it means they didn't have kids in the first place because they left their wife, their bottle from Kiryat Arba, and therefore, though it's not a direct criticism, they were admonished like selling the kids in the pasuk. The pasuk is about money. It wasn't about money like the pasuk. It just means, just like the pasuk means the kids are not important, likewise, they didn't think having kids was important and they never had them in the first place, which is, I guess, you know, in some respects, giving even less importance to kids than abandoning them. But well, let's stick for now with Tosos and everyone else that it's referring to not supporting your family. Here we get into a big machlokes. What is better to do? Is it better to learn Torah and not support your family, or is it better to support your family at the expense of learning Torah? So Tosos, in this simple pshat in our, I think the simple pshat in our Gemara, simple pshat in our Gemara, is that Rav Yatar was criticizing the people who came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, saying they're doing the wrong thing because they're chayav to support their families, and even though learning Torah is important, but if you're chayav to support your family, then you don't have the right to abandon them to learn Torah. That's Pashat B'Shan and Nora, the Rav Yatar was criticizing them. That's what Tosos says in Kiddushin, when Tosos discusses the Gemara of Ha'lan V'Ha'lahu. There are three sugyas in Shas about a man leaving his wife to learn Torah, one in Ksubas about not doing the mitzvahs ona for learning Torah, but that does not deal with the financial aspects. There are two sugyas that deal with financial aspects. One is our sugya, and one is Kiddushin Daf Chaf Tesem and Beis, where they discuss whether you should get married first or learn Torah first. and they decide halan v'halahu. There's a difference between Israelis and Babylonians, and it's not so clear what the difference is. Rashi interprets that the Israelis should learn Torah and then get married, because if they get married, everyone's assuming the big yeshivas were in Israel at that time, because if the Israelis get married, then they won't be able to learn properly because they'll have responsibilities at home. But the Babylonians, Rashi says in Kedusha, the Babylonians, they can get married first, because then they'll leave their wives and go to Israel and be able to learn undistracted, because they'll be far away from home, they won't have domestic responsibilities. Tosfos asks on Rashi, a few questions. One of them is, how can they leave their home and abandon their domestic responsibilities? They have responsibility to support their families. So it could very well be, it's certainly possible, we don't know how Rashi would answer Tosfos. Right? For what we know, he could say, they have a lot of money to pay. But it's possible that Rashi here is l'shitaseiv there. Rashi perhaps thinks that it's more important to learn Torah than to support your family. And therefore, it's good to get married first, and then go learn Torah elsewhere. And maybe that's why Rashi argued on Tosfos here. Why did Rashi not interpret like Tosfos here? The problem is not supporting the family, because Rashi and Kedushin Taka thinks it's good to learn Torah. Learning Torah is better than supporting your family. What is the problem here? The problem here, perhaps, was just that they didn't have kids at all. Meaning, and here I'm speculating, maybe Rashi and Kedushin was referring to those who had kids, just went away from one period of time to learn, but still managed to have families. And Rashi here was referring to those who did not manage to have kids at all. And Rashi said, yeah, supporting your family is not important. You can go away for a few months at a time. But every once in a while, you should come home and make sure you have children. So perhaps, if you put these Rashis together, Rashi and Kedushin says, it's good to go learn and not support your family. And Rashi here interpret different than Tosfos. So maybe Rashi is l'shitasei. However, most Rishonim assume that Rav Yosser is criticizing those who don't support your kids, and therefore he had a different shot in Holon v'Halahu. Tosfos says, no, adrava. And that's where, if you read the Tosfos, he gets in the whole thing of who's the one and who's the lahu and who's talking about what. He says, adrava. The Israelis should get married and learn Torah, because they could learn Torah in town and still be with their families. The Babylonians should learn Torah and then get married, because if they're learning Torah and they're far away, they should do that before they're married, so they don't neglect their domestic responsibilities. So here, if we just ask this following question, right? Talmud Torah versus Parnassas Beso. So, if you take the Gemara in here, Talmud Torah Adif, Parnassas Beso, Adif, here is the Mashmaos of Rashi and Kedushin. Rashi doesn't say terribly much. He just says, it's good to go to a faraway country and learn Torah and not be bothered by domestic responsibilities, implying that it's not as important to support one's family. Tosfos and most Rishonim in Kedushin say explicitly that's ridiculous. It can't be that you should travel far away to learn and neglect domestic responsibilities. What do they do with our sugya? What they do with with Rav Yosser and our sugya? So Tosfos says kipshuto. It is a criticism of those who don't support their families. Right? He takes our Gemara kipshuto. He's criticizing those who neglect their families, and therefore, Kedushin says they should have got their children to learn while they were single. Rashi, perhaps l'shitase, one you could say like Rashi, who says that says that the issue here is Kuria Verivia, not finances. Or you could say like the Me'iri. The Me'iri here is very explicit. The Me'iri says, at first he says, Rav Yosser is criticizing them. He's mocha b'hem. Then in the end he says, you know, really, he's saying a derech shevach. Really, Rabbi Yatar is praising the people who came from Babel Teretz Yisrael, even though their kids ended up getting sold because they weren't mefarnes their families. Look how dedicated they are to Talmud Torah. And he says it's the Derech Shevach. It's a Shevach. He was praising how dedicated they are to Talmud Torah. And Rama Shekhan is true, points out that Chassam Sofer, he makes a whole fancy pilpul. Okay, whether to accept the whole fancy pilpul, we're not sure. The Chassam Sofer also explained that Rav Yatar was not meaning to criticize them. Technically, the way the Chassam Sofer says here is he wasn't criticizing those people who went to learn Torah. He was saying he was criticizing the Goyim who persecute us so that when we do the right thing and learn Torah, you know, we don't, there's not enough parnasa left at home and the kids end up getting sold. Of course, the people who went to learn Torah did the right thing. So, the Meiri and the Chassam Sofer. It is a bikoret, a criticism, but not on the people who learn Torah, on the goyim. The people who learn Torah did the right things, the bikoret, and the goyim, that they end up taking away our kids and persecuting us when we're doing the right thing and trying to learn Torah. And if not for the goyim, we would have been okay because there would have been enough parnasa for everyone. The Meiri brings a interesting raya. From the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin in Erevin has various drushes from the pasuk of Kvutzosa Tal Talim Shcharot Ka'orev. And one of the drushes is, perhaps the last one in this list, is Rava says, Shchoroka Orev, the Orev is Achzari Albanov. So it's someone who's Achzari Albanov, Albebeso Ke Orev. And he brings that, so you can only acquire Torah if you're Achzari on your family. Kihadra of Adra Masna, Habaka Ozoli Rav, Armel of Besu, Nuk Zachai Avalu. He was going to Yeshiva. His wife said, what am I going to do with the kids? How am I going to feed the kids? Armel Lami, Shlimu Kormi Ba'agma. Right, are there no more, it's not exactly clear what kormi means, Meshav Yishonah bring, Rashi brings to Peshatim, vegetables or some plant that you can make bread out of. Right, there's no more plants left in the agam, in the wild. Agam generally means the wild, doesn't have to be a marsh. So he says there's plenty of food to pick and feed the kids, and I'm going to go learn Torah. So the Meiri says, we see here that's a good thing, and therefore he was praising them. The Meiri and the Chassam Sofer, and perhaps Rashi and Kedushin seem to be the minority sheet there, Pashas, the majority sheet, says, like Tosos seems the Dover Pashas, and most of the Rishonim, all the Rishonis, Ramban and Beit Rasho follow, and the Rishonim Ashkenaz follow Tosos. What do they say about the Gemara in Erevin? L'chora, I don't know, they don't really comment much on the Gemara in Erevin. L'chora, what they mean when we're in Erevin is that you still have to be what's called sometimes Achzari Albanov Nebeso Ka'orev. Meaning, if someone is dedicated to making the most money they possibly can, you know, building the fanciest house and wearing the fanciest clothing and et cetera, et cetera, then they'll never succeed in Torah because Oif Kesef Lo Yisma Kesef. And, you know, sometimes one has to say that luxuries are unimportant and it's more important to learn Torah than to make extra money and use your practical judgment. And I assume Tosafot say the Gemara in Erevin was not referring to a case of Ayitnos Ayela Vizona Vayalda Mamu Vayayin Vayishtu. It's referring to a case where, you know, the husband wanted to live a very simple lifestyle and the wife wanted to live a more luxurious lifestyle. And she was complaining to him, and he was right, that Torah is more important than a luxurious lifestyle. While the Meiri would say, no, man, mamash, they have no food to eat, but still, Torah is more important. The L'chora would be better at passing like Tosos here, if it came down to it. But interestingly, in Menashe Klein, the Shut Mishnah Lachos says a nice pshat in this Gemara in Erevin. He says, what's pshat in the Gemara in Erevin? I don't know if this is pshat or drash, but he says, what's pshat in the Gemara in Erevin? He said to her, aren't there vegetables in the wild? So Rashi says, it means, oh, there's what to eat. Go, you know, be a hunter-gatherer. He says, no. Menashe Klein said, his point was not a practical answer, it was a philosophical answer. He says, look in the wild.
aren't there things growing everywhere? After all, you know, there are many, many species of animals besides Homo sapiens. None of them have jobs. None of them have money. How do they eat? Somehow Hashem makes something grow for everyone to eat. You know, whatever the cows need to eat, that grows somewhere. Whatever the monkeys need to eat, that grows somewhere. Whatever the, you know, the lizards need to eat, that grows somewhere. So likewise, you know, put your bitachon Hashem, or whatever we need to eat will also come from, grow from somewhere. And he reads the Gemara in Erevin is not saying practically, go pick something, but a philosophical point, have bitachon Hashem, if Hashem provides for the animals who don't have any money, he will provide for us as well, which is saying, perhaps a little twist, it's not that Talmud Torah is more important than supporting one's family, it's that if you learn Torah, Hashem will take care of supporting the family because, you know, Lo Ra'iti Tzadik Nezav. Practically, it's the same thing, but philosophically, it's taking a different angle, meaning learning Torah will also, your family gets supported just as well. Because one has B'tachon Hashem, Hashem comes through for you. So in the end, perhaps that's a in-between shot based on his, I think it actually is a nice drash at the very least. In the Gemara Erevin, either you furnish your family, and that takes precedence, but that's a chiyuv in the Ksuba, or Talmud Torah takes precedence, and who cares about the family? Or says Rav Moshe Klein, Talmud Torah takes precedence, and if you learn Torah, Hashem will take care of the family. Okay, those are the different approaches that come out of our Gemara here. Going on in the Gemara says, what was the problem with Rav Yasser? Actually, again, the Sam Sofer, he has a very intricate cheshbon here. Says the problem for Rav Yasser was, you know, did he think learning Torah was important? But that's not the simple shot of the Gemara. The simple shot of the Gemara is, why was he accusing Rav Yasser of not being a proper Talmud Chacham? Because of a kassel of lo sirtut. He wrote these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words of a pasuk without sirtut, without lines. An unlined paper, I mean, all the paper was unlined then until you lined it. Right? You ever look at a Sefer Torah, you see sirtut. They would scrap, take a ruler and take a knife and scratch lines into the paper, and then they would write on the lines, technically in proper Hebrew. I mean, I don't know what they do nowadays in elementary school. But in Safrut, unlike English, in English, we're in the Mishnah that taught us to write above, on the line, right? In Safrut, you'll notice the letters are not on the line, they're hanging down from the line. But it's the same basic idea. They're, you know, you write them down from the line, not up from the line. Same basic idea, see?
Ignoring Parnassa, is there no reason for a father to be home
to,
like, his family?
That is a fascinating question, meaning, have a chinuch upon it. Shouldn't a father be home for that reason? That's a great question. Interestingly, it's not addressed in any halachic sugya, although we have it in one agadic sugya. Why with Rabbi Akiva is it? It seems it worked out anyway, even though he wasn't around to mechanic. I'm not sure. It's our opinion.
Jake Maharal gives up shot in this Gemara because being a sayad is because he wasn't mechanic for children.
Aha, because he wasn't mechanic. Okay, so the Maharal and the Chidush Agadah, so I have to check it out. Maybe says that's the criticism in this sugya. Okay, but I have to think about it. Any case, he wrote these without sirtut. What's the problem? Rabbi Yitzchak Stein Kolsch Shalz and Kolsch. Rabbi Yitzchak says you can write two words without sirtut, but you can't write three words without sirtut. Uv Masnisa Tan of the Brisa says Shalosh Kolsch and Arba and Kolsch. You can do three words without sirtut, but not four words without sirtut. But either way, you can't Lekuli Alma. You can't write seven words without sirtut. So here, Rav Yosef was questioning Rav Yosef. Amalei Abayi Otu Kol Lo Yada Hadav Yitzchak Lav Gav Rabba. What do you mean? Just because someone doesn't know me or Rav Yitzchak, they're not a Gav Rabba. You could be a Gav Rabba even if you don't know one. Maimra. You know, I don't know, maybe nowadays you say he doesn't know Sif and Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if he's a Gav Rabba or not. But certainly, I guess if it's Torah, it was Baal Peh, so you didn't necessarily hear every Maimra. And he's still a Gav Rabba, and therefore we still paskin like him. Not only that, but Bishle, and as he said, Bishle Milsa Talib Svara L'chai. L'chai means L'chaim, you're right. If it's a Svara and he got the Svara wrong, then he's not a Gav Rabba. Hagamari, but this is something you have to learn. Ugamar L'shmila, he never heard this statement, so it's not his fault. But Od, and his second, first he sort of takes away the proof that he's not a Gav Rabba, and then he proves he is a Gav Rabba. Harav Yatur to ask him Mariel Yade. Hashmari is Hashem. Hashem agreed with Rav Yosser, so he's obviously a Gav Rabba. Dechseva Tizna Elav Pilagsho says the Pilegish was Mizana on against this person in the beginning of the story. Pilegish Begiv against her husband. I'm not sure what you call the other guy, the guy of the who has a Pilegish. Let's call him a husband for now, even though she's not full wife. Okay, we'll call him a husband. She was Mizan and her husband. What does it mean to be Mizan and her husband? Rav Yatar Omar Zvob Matzala, Rav Yonatan Omar Nima Matzala. Right? Rav Yasser says that he found a
fly, and that he got mad about that. And Rav Yonah says he found a hair and got mad about that. Interestingly, the Rishonim asked here, that's not Pshuta Shal Mikra. Pshuta Shal Mikra is Vatizna Lov Pilag Sho. She did znus, right? She went and had an affair with another man, and that's why he was mad at her. So all the Rishonim here give the same answer, says, why did Chazal not interpret this Kipshuto? That Vatizna means she did znus, meaning we're not talking about Sara, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. We're talking about some, you know, dregs of society here, Lechora. Could be they did znus. Wouldn't be the end of the world. I mean, would be for them. Wouldn't be the end of the world for Jewish history. They did lots of other bad things anyway in this story. So the Rishonim will say, no, if she had been Mizana, what happened? He was Mizana, he got mad at her. She went to her father's house, and then he went to take her back, and that's when all the trouble started. Right? So if she had really been Mizana, then he wouldn't have taken her back, because you don't take her right back after she was Mizana. That was not done. Certainly in the old days, that was not something done. Interestingly, what is the status of a Pilegesh? There's a Shukri Vash who quotes from our Sugya. He says, our sugya, how did they know it wasn't znus? Should be vash, I think Shin Sadihei, either that or Shin Peihei, don't remember. He says, from our sugya, why didn't they think it was znus? Must be if it was znus, he couldn't have taken her back. Why couldn't he have taken her back? Must be it's usher to live with her after she does znus. Why would it be usher to live with her if she does znus? Because a married woman who commits adultery is usher labal of usher laboel. The rivash proves from our Gemara that a pilegesh has kiddushin. Like, perhaps there's one, the Gersa and Rashi on Chumash in last week's Parsha, that Pilagshim without Ksuba, implying that perhaps with Kiddushin, the Ravid and Hilchas Ishas also quotes this Gersa, that perhaps a Pilegesh has Kiddushin. So the Rivash Paskins from our study, the Pilegesh has Kiddushin. What's the Nafgamina? Nafgaminas in his days don't think only in our days that people do znus. Even before the internet, there was still even before the emancipation, even before modern times, there was still znus. And in the Rivash's days, everyone said, "Oh, that's okay. Like we'll live together, and it's a pilegish, so it's okay." And the Rivash says, "No. We see from our Gemara that pilegish has kiddush. A pilegish is Isha's gemara. It's a full marriage because that's why he couldn't have taken her back, and that's why they didn't interpret the tvatizne kishuto. That's the Rivash's proof." However, it is not such a good proof, because all three Rishonim say here, like Tosfos, Amar Rach, or Rabbeinu Tam, Mid Ratzlach Zira, Dafil Pledge, Lola Darka, Lahafsar Zanusam. All the Rishonim here say, the truth of the Lashon, they say, it wasn't socially acceptable, it wasn't socially done to take your privileges back after she had an affair. They don't say it was halachically forbidden. They say we're dealing here with social norms, not with halachic norms. In which case, Argamar doesn't prove that it's usser to live with your Pilegesh after she had an affair. Only proves that it wasn't done socially to keep your Pilegesh after she had an affair. But it doesn't prove anything halachically, which is why that depends on the opinion of most Rishonim, that a Pilegesh is without Kiddushin. Even the Rambam holds the Pilegesh without Kiddushin, that's usser. Okay, not our sugya now, but interesting to note, in the whole Pilegesh controversy, Ad Hayom Hazeh still came up. There's a fellow whose name I won't mention, who's not from the people I like to quote in Shir, but he's a big professor who wrote an article in a journal that I don't like to quote in Shir, but it always discusses interesting things, maybe 10 years ago or so, where he said, you know, he says, oh, enough of this marriage thing. You know, it's too hard that, like, you have to get married in order to have sexual relations. We should just take a Pilegesh, and that way it'll be a lot easier for everyone. You don't have all the stress of getting married just because you, a boy and girl, want to live together. And other such tainas that are... you're not exactly sure why someone thinks they're such good ideas. But... apparently, he must have had his reasons. So that ties into this question of the Rivash would say, Ma Patom, if Pilegesh also needs Kiddushin, she just doesn't have a Ksuba. But it's the exact same Kiddushin. The Rambam would say, a Pilegesh is without Kiddushin. But you're not allowed to have a Pilegesh. The Rambam says, Usher, to have a Pilegesh. Urim Doraisa, it sounds like. Okay, he was relying on the other Rishonim, who said that the Pilegesh without Kiddushin and you're allowed to have one. And they could also explain our sugya. Okay, what should we do about that? We'll discuss another time. Continuing our Gemara.
So, what was the problem? Either a zvuv or a mima. Va'ashki Rav Yosher l'Eliyahu, Rav Yosher met Eliyahu Navi. Amrle, my ka'avid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interestingly, we'll see in the end, Hashem, what is Hashem doing? Okay, Rav Yosher met Eliyahu Navi, says, what's Hashem doing? What do you mean, what's Hashem doing? So Rav Yosher was a yeshivish fellow. He knew Hashem was also a yeshivish being. Not a fellow. So what does a yeshivish being do? He's learning. That we just don't know what sugya Hashem's up to. But obviously, he's learning. We just don't know what sugya's up to. So yes, Eliyahu Navi, what sugya's Hashem up to? Answered Eliyahu Navi, Asik b'kilegesh b'giva. Guess Hashem's not so yeshivish after all, because he's learning Tanakh. Try to keep that quiet in order to protect his kavod. Hashem's learning Tanakh, and he's up to the sugya of pilegesh b'giva, which happened to be very good for Yasser, because he wanted to know if he was right or wrong. Micah, Amalev, Yasser bin Ikach Omer, Yonas bin Ikach Omer. Ah, he's learning with the Mefarshim. Okay, there was no Malbim or Mitsudos or even Rashi yet, but he's learning with Rebel Yasser, the Pirish Rebel Yasser, and the Pirish of Yonasan. Amrle, Chas Shalom, Mikas Fei Kamishmai, Chas Shalom. Hashem can't be the Suffolk. Hashem knows what happened. He doesn't need our Pirishim. Eliyahu Navi says back to him, Amrle, Eliel, Jibluk, Chayim, you're both right. He thinks she did two things wrong. There was a zvuv and there was a nima. And then when the zvuv happened, he found the zvuv, he didn't get kicked her out of the house. He didn't get mad at her. Then when he found the nima, he did get mad at her and kick her out of the house. But really, you're both right. Look, Ora, one second, the pshat of the Gemara is that somehow the zvuv also contributed. That's what makes them both right. The zvuv he was willing to tolerate. Once it was also the Nima, then everything was piling up together. So then, he and all the Achronim different formulations exactly how they piled up together. But simple shot is, once those both happened, he got mad at her. There's a famous Musar part here. I think they say the name of a gifter from Tells. It says, ask him Mari El Yadi. How do we know if Yasser's Agava Rava? This is really drush, but it's a nice drush. How do we know if Yasser's Agava Rava? It's Hashem agreed with his shot in Torah. Says, what do you mean? Before we get to that, he was talking to Eliyahu Navi. He's not a Gavra Rav if he's talking to Eliyahu Navi, right? Ashki Rav Yosher L'Eliyahu, Amarle. Why do you need more? Why don't we just end the story there? We see from here, yeah, someone has a great spiritual experience with the Olamos Elyonim, doesn't mean they talk to Eliyahu, doesn't mean they're a Gavra Rav. If they know how to learn Torah properly, then, and they get to the MS, then they're a Gavra Rav. Okay, good Litvish diuk from our sugya for the Litvaks here. Most of us here, I think, would appreciate that. In any case, we see here that we paskin like that since Hashem said Elu Be'elu and said Rabbi Yosef was right, therefore he's a Gavarabba and paskin like him. Let's just finish this up. Why was the Nima worse than the Zvov? So either to Pshatim Zvov Amrim Yehuda Zvov Bekar of Nima Oso Makom. The Zvov was in his dinner. The fly fell into it. And that was annoying, but not so annoying. The Nima Bosamaka, the Nima was a pubic hair, which was very disgusting to him. Unclear exactly why. You could have said it was just in their social norms. It was aesthetically displeasing. Rashi says that it was based on the next line in the Gemara, that it was sakana. Right? Somehow we don't fully understand how it's sakana. But some of it's sakana that it could injure and make him a krush shavka if there is a nima. We're not exactly sure why that's such a sakana. The Ben Yom Yada says, no, they had a trick where they would like use special chemicals to make the hairs very sharp as a means of self-defense. And that's why it was sakana. And that's why he was so upset. Okay, now I understand why he was so upset. Or you could just say that it was a scientific belief in the old days that it was somehow sakana, even though it doesn't match our modern science. In any case, he continues and says, Zvuv mias susa, zvuv was mias, but the nima was worse, that was sakana, ikadami idibi akar. And someone says, no, there's no sakana involved here. They're both in the food. He found that hair in the food and the fly in the food, but zvuv is onsa, nima pshiusa. The zvuv is an ones, it's not always your fault, like Rashi says at the end of Vayesha. It's not always your fault if there is a fly in the food, so it could have flown in at the last minute when you weren't looking, but it's always your fault if there's a hair in the food, because you should have been careful, and if, you know, I don't know, in the restaurants, they're supposed to wear hair nets so the hair doesn't go into the food, or be careful somehow. But a fly, you know, maybe if there's a mouse, then maybe, but a fly, the flies fly through the air, you can't stop them, and therefore it's onus. Okay, end of this part of the story.
just make one or two arrows. Interestingly, in addition to what we already pointed out, this is one of the really only two places in Shas where it says Eilu ve'Eilu Divra Lokem Chayim. The here in Bar Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, the only two contexts where we say Eilu ve'Eilu Divra Lokem Chayim. It's just interesting, what's the context of Eilu ve'Eilu Divra Lokem Chayim here? On the one hand, okay, it just happened to be that Yasser and Yonasan argued. It happened to be that Yasser and Eliyahu Navi. It happened to be they were both right. So Eliyahu Navi used the phrase Eilu ve'Eilu Divra Lokem Chayim here. But it's just, I would point out that there's two interesting things about the context. Very often we find that I can't always find it. I think it might still be there when I can't find it. But sometimes we can find that the agadic context of a certain philosophical or agadic idea in Shas is not coincidental. What's the context here of Eilu ve'Eilu Divra Lokem Chayim here? First of all, in the story of Pilei Yishbegiva, we know what the story of Pilei Yishbegiva is all about, right? It's about civil war between Jews, right? Pilei Yishbegiva was basically probably the worst civil war between Jews in all of Tanakh. I don't know, you know, it's a little hard to measure, but it definitely seemed, you know, we had hundreds of years of enmity between Malchut Yisrael and Malchut Yehudah, but this seems to have been particularly bad. So it's about civil war between Jews, and perhaps it's not coincidence that Eilu ve'Eilu Divra Lokem Chayim here came in the context of a drash on the very opening of the story of Pilei Yishbegiva. It's saying that, you know, it's very easy to descend into civil war between Jews, and perhaps the lesson that needs to be learned when you start learning this parsha in Perek in Tanakh is Eilu ve'Eilu Divra Lokem Chayim, that it's possible for two people to both be right. One person doesn't have to always be right, and the other doesn't have to be wrong. No one possesses a monopoly on divine truth. And there's more than one way to look at things, so I think that could not be coincidence. Even more so, I would say, it's fascinating that what is Eilu ve'Eilu Divra Lokem Chayim here proving? It is proving that Rav Yasser is a Bar Samcha. What are we proving if Rav Yasser is a Bar Samcha? What does that prove? I mean, what does that prove from Sechus Gittin? It proves that the Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin. I know I'm using Rob's words instead of his words. It proves that Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin. Interestingly, you know, in the days of Shas, there were two centers, Merkazei Torah. There were two Torah centers, Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. There are many places in Shas where people talk about what's better, Bavel or Eretz Yisrael. Not surprisingly, often we find the Amorim of Eretz Yisrael think Eretz Yisrael is better. Amorim of Bavel think Bavel is better. You know, when you have two centers of Torah, it is very easy for there to be strife between them. Everyone thinks they're better. Everyone thinks the other one's, you know, to this or to that, you know, whatever it may be, right? Whoever's on the left of me is not from. Whoever's on the right of me is all chinyat. And whoever's neither on the left or the right nor different is just stupid. Right? So that's a fascinating question, meaning I wasn't around at the time, but I can imagine, and I'm speculating, that if I'm alive in the time of, we know, by the way, in post-Talmudic times, the battles were fierce. Not physical battles like Pilei Yishbegiva, but the sort of social intellectual battles, right? Who's better, Bavel or Eretz Yisrael? The famous machlokes between Rav Sadia Gaon and the Gaon Ben Meir over who gets to decide how to fix the calendar, right? And for 1 year, the Jews in Bavel, what year was it? 892 or something, whatever it was, I forget. The Jews in Bavel and Jews in Eretz Yisrael celebrated Pesach on different days. Like one of them ate chametz while the other one was sitting at a Pesach Seder. And you can imagine, I wasn't alive at Rav Yosef's time, but there'd be a lot of tension. Is Bavel as good as Eretz Yisrael? You know, if we're sitting here in Eretz Yisrael, is Eretz Yisrael as good as Bavel? You know, here's a Mishnah. Maybe get Medina Sayyam. Is Bavel Medina Sayyam? Is Bavel like, you know, the Jews in, you know, in far-flung places where they're all Amoratzim, right? The Jews of Bavel are the same, in those days, are the same as the Jews of Asia Minor and the Jews of Rome who don't know anything about Torah, who are half assimilated and no good because, after all, they don't have Torah's Eretz Yisrael. Or, you know, the Jews of Bavel, they might do things a little differently than us here in Eretz Yisrael, but they're just as authentic a Masorah as we are. You can imagine that could have been a life question, and here it comes down to, right? Is Rabbi Yasser a Bar Samcha? Is he not a Bar Samcha? I'm saying Rabbi Yosef asked the question, but you can imagine a lot of people ask this question. Is Bavel as good as Eretz Yisrael, or can only one place be the best? And the answer is, Eilu ve'Eilu Divra Lokem Chayim here proves that Bavel can Eretz Yisrael the Gittin.
ultimately, I think it works out very nicely. The principle of Eilu ve'Eilu de v'Lokhayim proves that Bavel and Eretz Yisrael are equal, even though the Mishnah says only Eretz Yisrael and the Divinus Hayam. Nonetheless, the Jews in Bavel and the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, even though they have slight differences between them, are equally representative of a Makom Torah, and therefore they both deserve respect. So I think that's also not coincidence. Continuing in the Gemara,
Amar Rav Chisda.
Rav Chisda learns a lesson from Pilegish Begeva, from the opening of, like, from the rest of Pilegish Begeva, there's a lot of lessons we should learn, but even from the opening, Le'olam Ayatel Adam Eima Yisir Sof Beso. Right, because she ran away from her husband. Right? Why did she run away from her husband? She was obviously afraid that he was going to, you know, beat her up or kill her because she did something wrong. So a person should not cast too much fear in his house, shouldn't make his wife and kids afraid of him. Because after all, how did this all start? She did something wrong. Knew she did something wrong, meaning she didn't have an affair, right? She messed up with a hair of one type or another, or a fly. I mean, he could have criticized her. He's allowed to criticize her. Didn't have to make her so afraid that she ran away for her life. The Pila Kamer Vos Yisrael. This one, Shmo, was Matol Ema Yisera So Beso, and tens of thousands of Jews died because of it. Amrav Yudah Rav, Kol Matol Ema Yisera So Beso, Sofu Bali Shalosh Averos. So we'll end up three Averos, Gila Rai, Shikos Damim, Ve'chilol Shabbos. Okay, here we have two different Girsos, depending on what we're referring to. Tosos brings the Girsa. Tosos brings the Girsa of Rabbi Chananel, Gila Rai, Shikos Damim, Chilol Hashem. Because in the case of Pilegesh, there's Gilei Arayas, right? The Pilegesh was abused by the townspeople. There was Shvichas Damim, lots of people were killed, and there was a tremendous Chilul Hashem. Tosus quotes the Seder Olam, who says the same pshat is referring to Pilegesh Begeva with our Girsa. Gilei Arayas, Shvichas Damim, Chilul Shabbos, because the war was on Shabbos. But Rashi says it's not referring to Pilegesh Begeva. It's referring to regular life. I mean, Tosus assumes referring to Pilegesh Begeva, either Chilul Hashem or Chilul Shabbos, if you assume it happened on Shabbos. Rashi says, no, it's referring to her regular life. It'll lead to Gilei Arayas. How Gilei Arayas? Because Rashi says, neither counts as Gilei Arayas. If there's Eima Yisera, it'll be cold. The mikvah was too cold, she didn't tovel, and she'll be afraid to tell her husband. She'll say she tovel, then they'll do Gilei Arayas of Nida. How Shvichas Damin? It doesn't have to be like this. Rashi says, it could just be Stam. She'll run away from her husband and end up someplace unsafe, and you know, she'll run away at night in an unsafe place and trip and fall and die. And Chilul Shabbos, the husband will go to shul, and she'll forget to light the Shabbos candles or whatever else. She'll be free to tell her husband, she'll be Mechal Shabbos, so when he comes home, he won't be mad at her. Amar Rav Chana, Padam Riyobana, Shlosh Advarim Sarf, Elim Tov Pesa, Rav Shabbos of Hashecha, Isartim, Iravdim, Hadliku Es Haner, period. This Mishnah, you have to say it nicely, even though, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one here, sometimes on Erev Shabbos, as Shabbos is becoming closer and closer, it gets a little stressful, and even otherwise good people could talk shalom b'nichusa. It probably never happened in your houses.
You're setting up the record sheets 5 minutes before Shabbos.
Yeah, whatever it may be. If I'm setting up the record sheets 5 minutes before Shabbos, then we have nichusa. That's not a problem, but the other weeks. So one can easily be stressed out a little here. We're not talking about Ema Yisera, but one could easily be stressed about these things and say them in a way that is not Noach. And why do you have to say the minichusa? Because otherwise, the people in the household will not listen, right? You yell at people, that's not going to help. You have to ask people nicely, and then they will identify with you. Amar Avashi, Anolo Shmilo Hadra, I never heard this, but I figured out my svara. You know, it's a good svara, and I figured it out on my own. Amar Yavla, Olma Yatalom Emi Serum Sof Beso, Shahari Adam Gadol, Hitel Emi Serum Sof Beso, Vechilu Adavar Gadol, a great Talmud Chacham. Was Makal Emi Yisera, so Beso, here's not talking about his wife, it's talking about his servants, but same problem. And they fed him something really treif. Umanu Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. And who was it? It was Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. Hechi Luis Hakadaita, they fed him treif. Hashda behemtim shel tzadikim ein hakadosh baruch hu meiv takala yadim. Tzadikim asal kosin. The behem of the tzadikim Hashem will bring it takala. Why? This is referring to the chamer of Pinchas ben Yari. He stayed someplace and they tried to feed the chamor demai, and the chamor refused to eat. Because Hashem protected even the chamor from a tekala. So obviously Hashem will protect Ruchini ben Gamliel himself from a tekala. Elo bikshu l'achilu dabar gadol. That means they almost fed him a big avera. What is a big avera? My nihu eiv menachai. What's such a big avera? It's eiv menachai. Why is eiv menachai such a big avera? Anyone want to guess? Why is it a big Avera Dumbagundle? Why isn't it just a regular Avera? Because it's also even from Jane Noah, so therefore it's a bigger Avera. You know, even the Goyim don't eat it, so it's a bigger Avera. Okay, what happened? What happened was they, I guess, messed up or lost part of the sheep they were supposed to serve, and was missing a leg, or it could be anything. So what did they do? They were so afraid of being yelled at by him and being punished that they cut a leg off a live sheep and just threw it on the platter, or threw it on the grill. And they almost fed him Eich Menachai. Okay, here, interestingly, Tosos discusses a famous discussion they have over Shas, which is, how come the Gemara in a few places says, Hashem v'hemshem shel tzadikim and Kadosh Baruch Hu maybe to call yadim tzadikim af lo kol shekein? A few places the Gemara says Hashem would never let a tzadik do an avera. But yet, in a few other places, a tzaddik, in fact, does an avera. Like, for example, he brings example, number one, Shabbos, Dafyud, Beis, and Beis, there are two lashonos. We're going to do one lashon where Ishmael ignored the gzeira of Chazal of not reading to the lamplight, because he says, I'll remember not to turn up the lamp by tilting it. And in fact, there's Rechal Shabbos, so we see. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai, he killed an Eid Zomim, even though there were a couple of technical reasons why he wasn't Chayev, and he messed up the halacha and killed him anyway, so he killed someone who was innocent. That's a big takala. Okay, and Ksubas is more... controversial, but he also quotes from Yirin Bar Abba in Pesachim, he forgot and ate before Abdullah, so Hashem didn't protect him from an Avera, and in Rosh Hashanah, Basim Tafshil Vagloy, Tzomar Rabba, Dabar Rava, in Bavel, they messed up the calendar and they ate on Yom Kippur, they kept Yom Kippur on the wrong day. So he's seen many places, and Lechor is that, it's clear from the story that was even the rabbis there, even the tzaddikim. So you see many places tzaddikim can get messed up. So how come in some sugyas the tzaddikim cannot get messed up, and in some sugyas the tzaddikim can get messed up? So what is Tosus's answer?
Just a few.
It depends if they're eating something or just doing something wrong. It says, of course, even a tzaddik doesn't have complete supernatural protection. A tzaddik could have a takala and do something wrong, such as Chilul Shabbos, such as, you know, executing someone who's not worthy of execution, such as eating before Abdullah, where the food is not usher, it's just the wrong time, or such as eating on Yom Kippur, where the food is not usher, it's just the wrong time. But a tzaddik would never eat treif. And therefore, in the sugya, the original sugya of Chamer Pinchas and Yared, the Chamer didn't eat treif in our sugya, the Gemara says, he wouldn't have eaten treif, and it comes up a few places, but in Chulin, I think a little later than that, when Rav Meir ate and Ola Shal Yerek the Beit Shan, they assumed that means that he ate Yerek and Beit Shan, and we thought we had a Havmin or whatever it may be that Beit Shan has Kedush Eretz Yisrael and has Shumas Maestros, but nonetheless he ate without Shumas Maestros. So you say, obviously, it must be that Beit Shan doesn't really have to do Eretz Yisrael because Hashem wouldn't have brought a takala to Rabbi Meir, which is also referring to Achila. So Tosos has a good theory. What do we do with Chulin Dafhei, which is the Chamor, and Chulin Daf Zayin of an Aleph, which is Rabbi Meir, and the Yerek of Tevel, right? Or Tevel, if it would be an Eretz Yisrael. And Gittin Daf Zayin of an Aleph, which is the Eber Min HaChai, where Hashem wouldn't bring it, versus Shabbos Daf Yud Beis Amin Beis, which is Chol Shabbos. And where was that sugya Yud Ben Tabai? What? Chagiga Te Zayin Amin Beis?
Yes.
Chagiga Te Zayin Amin Beis Harigas Eid Zomein, who really technically was not Chayav. As well as what did Tosfos mention at the end, Pesachim Kufav Amid Beis. Pesachim Kufav Amid Beis is Achila Kodem Havdalah, which Tosfos says is a big Aveir, even though it's under Rabban, and Rosh Hashanah
Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, which is Achila on Yom Kippurim. So what's the difference? Says Tosfos, no problem. Says Tosfos, he says here it's Achilas Iser Al Yidei HaTzadik, and here it's Shar Averos. Why? Because it's a bigger gnai to eat Iser. Why is it such a big gnai to eat Iser? So Rabbi Akiva Eger here says in the Gilyon Hashas Ayin Mari Kash by Goosa of Reish Tur Yordea. I put that on the Makorah sheet. His sefer is called Erech Lechem of the Mari Castro. And he says, because it's a good svara, he says when you eat something, the treif goes into your body. Actually, he says like the cells of your body, the treif actually becomes the cells of your body. That's a bigger gnai than just doing something wrong. You do something wrong, it's momentary and it's over. When it doesn't stick with you. When you eat something treif, or even if you eat before Abdullah, it doesn't stick with you. The food is normal food. When you eat something treif, that sticks with you in your guf, and therefore it is more of a tnai, achilas iser on the tzadik, because it is in his guf, it actually becomes his guf. He actually said the tzaddik would be a chefta de isura if he ate treif. Okay, there are the Ramban talks about this on Chumash about the effect of certain machlosos, at least maybe not all, on the body. That is his chiluk. However, this only works if you have the right gersa in Yevamo Ksubas Daf Chav Chesam Beis, which is the exact same thing as Yevamo Daf Tzadik Pesam Beis. Over there, there is a Gemara that I forget which Amora said. I only was made once, and it was a mistake because Halu Eved LeKahuna. Halu Eved LeKahuna Al Piv. Anyone remember who it was? Yes. Who was it? Okay, thank you. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi then. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says, I was only made once. There were Halu Eved LeKahuna Alpi, right? They made an Eved to a Kohen, and I really, really, really messed up. Rabbi Elazar Yossi, Yom Yatipam Achse, Adi, Halu Eved LeKahuna Alpi. Halu Sakadaitach. Hashem, what does our Gemara say? Hashem, Abahemtim Shel Tzadikim. Our Gemara says, meaning, here's the cases where a tzaddik can't have takala. Here's a case where a tzaddik obviously can have a takala. So, over there, our Gersa has Hashem Shel Tzadikim. It can't be the Rehelu Ever the Kahuna Al Piv based on him. And that's difficult because it doesn't work for Tosus' scheme. Because over here, he didn't eat anything wrong, nothing up to his guf. He just made them think an Eved was a Kohen by some misleading or mistaken Eidos. Mistaken Eidos. But he didn't eat anything, so that is very difficult. So what Tosos has to do is, what Tosos has to say is, here what's the hook, is you have to erase the Yersa in Subos, Chavkes and Beis, or Yvonos, which are the same thing. But what if we have that gersa? Our shasas have that gersa. So our shasas also have subos slash yavamos halu eved lekahuna. Right? And then I said, it can't be the ramala eved lekahuna based on relaz and rabiosi. Because even the mehemta shel tzadik wouldn't have it the kala. Rabiosi alach is kam vakama. So what's the problem? Why can't he mess up? If a tzaddik can mess up to kill someone, why can't a tzaddik mess up to make someone think someone's a kohen? So this gets very tricky. You're very in time to say for a yosher, and Tosos erased it, but Tosos only in one place in Shas, in Chulin. Tosos in most of Shas. However, Tosos in Chulin and Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYoshar, in there, I think it's the second answer. They say no. This is Achilas Iser Al someone, right? Of someone. After all, what is Halo Ever the Kahuna? They're going to make someone eat, let someone eat Trumos, now let eat Truma. They're letting someone do an Iser, Achilas Iser. And this is Shara Deiros. So they say no. Even if the Achilas Israel today, someone else Hashem would let that happen to a tzaddik. Here, I'm not sure exactly what the svara is. The svara is a little unclear. Like, Tainach, you want to say Hashem would let the tzaddik eat Iser.
Why? Because then the Isser is inside his body. That's a Gnai, as Tosu says to the Tzadik, right? Tosu is the Lashon of Gnai who the Tzadik Shochel Dvar Isser. But why is it more of a Gnai the Tzadik that someone else eats an Isser than that he's Mechal Shabbos?
So the Avera still is existing. It's not.
Aha. So you have to say, you could call this Heftagavra if you want, that somehow Macholas Asuros are in some ways worse, not necessarily more Chomer, right? In some ways worse than other Averas, because other Averas are momentary, then they're gone. Chil Shabbos is technically worse than Macholas Asuros, right? In terms of the Omesh, etc. But once it's over, it's gone. Macholas Asuros, even though it's someone else, still has a Roshan, still has some objective, lasting effect in the world. Here, I'm a little more subject just because the Chor killing someone also has a lasting effect in the world, right? It's not just a momentary mistake. So I'm just wondering if you'd have to like erase that from the list and say, no, in the case of Yehuda ben Tabai, it really wasn't such a takala to kill the guy because the guy deserved it anyway. You just, you know, the problem wasn't, yes, exactly, one of the Achronim says, the problem with Yehuda ben Tabai wasn't killing an innocent person. That would have been a big effect in the world. No, he's a guilty person. The problem was you messed up the technicalities of the proper procedures of Beis Din. Messing up the technicalities is a momentary lapse that's gone tomorrow.
It's like the film falls off the roof.
Yeah. So I think you could say, if you're willing to say the problem wasn't that he killed an innocent person, you could have been Tabai. The problem is that he killed a guilty person but didn't follow proper procedures. Then you could say that's also a momentary lapse. So this is a big chiddush, right? This is, you have to say, because only Macholos Asuros has a lasting physical effect, you know, a lasting effect. I shouldn't say lasting effect. All of yours have a psychological effect. You know, it has a lasting concrete effect. Right? Right. Concrete physical effect. This is an interesting Kiddush. It's almost suggesting that perhaps all Macholos Asuros are more of an Isser Chefza, perhaps. But, okay, so this is a big Kiddush. Pashtun would have said, Hashem will let the tzaddik eat treif, then the treif in his guf. That's pasnished. Now we're saying, Hashem will let the tzaddik make anyone eat treif, because making someone else eat treif is worse than me being Mechal Shabbos. Not in terms of Chumrah. In terms of Chumrah, it's worse for me to be Mechal Shabbos than to make someone else eat treif. But in terms of the lasting effect afterwards, somehow Macholos Asuros are on a deeper level, and that is a interesting Kiddush about Macholos Asuros. Other Mepharshim, however, take a different approach. There are other answers as well. There are two other answers in the Mepharshim. The Ramban at first wants to give a certain answer, which in the end he rejects, but the Aruch Liner accepts. So here is the Ramban in his Havamina. And the Aruch Liner, they say no. Takala, you have to look at the word takala. Here you have to be a little clever, though. It's not that Hashem will never let a tzaddik do an Avera. No, we're not, you know, tzaddikim are human beings, right? Everyone's only human. We're not, you know, no one's superhuman here. It's that Hashem wouldn't let the tzaddik be a takala to other people. Takala here means not takala to tzaddik, takala to others. And here we're talking about averos done only by the tzaddik. If the tzaddik himself does an aver, it could happen. But here we're talking about where the tzaddik is machti achirim. Hashem wouldn't let the tzaddik be a kotei machti achirim. And therefore, when it comes to the tzaddik doing something more like chilul Shabbos, that's his own business. Eating for Abdullah, eating on Yom Kippur, you know, let's assume it's not the tzaddik who made the calendar, you know, or even killing someone, he wasn't machti someone else. Killing someone maybe caused someone else to die, but not someone else to do a chait. However, in all these cases, he was machti someone else. That works very nicely for Hello, Ever the Kahuna. He didn't do anything for himself. He was just machti someone else. And you have to say, what's the case of Avraham Achai? What's the case of Avraham Achai? But he was eating a whole animal, and he was such a fresser that he was Henry VIII. He was eating a whole animal. No, it was obviously a fancy suda. They were bringing it out to the crowd, and his Eimei Yaseira would have caused everyone to eat Avraham Achai. So that's machti Achirim. What about Rav Meir? He himself ate an Olashel Yerek. No, look at the context. The whole context was, does Beis Sha'an have Kedush Eretz Yisrael or not? Meaning, are you chayiv and trumas or maestros Beit She'an or not? The whole point is everyone was looking at Rav Meir and they were deciding how to paskin based on that. So obviously, that would have been takala to other people if he had done something wrong. The chamer of Pinchas ben Yair is tricky. How is that machti achirim? And that's where it all starts from. So this is perhaps the, you know, the dochet part of the Aruch Liner. He says that, no, the chamer of Pinchas ben Yair, there's no isra on an animal to eat demai. There's an isra on a person to feed the animal demai. And therefore, if the chamer would have eaten the demai, it would have been machti the balabayas. And that's why Hashem wouldn't let the chamer be machti the balabayas. So all
these.
Was
a guy who bought the chamer,
no? No, I think a different story. He was just at a Jewish inn. Okay, so these cases are machti achirim, these cases are not. The Ramban in his Vaskana and the Ran give it much more shot, a realistic answer. Interestingly, the Merumi Sadeh, the Netziv, combines them. He says, he combines Tosos and the Ramban. If you're either mashal other people or you eat treif, Hashem would let that happen. But the Ramban in his Vaskana and the Ran in Chulin, they say a very realistic answer. Say, Hashem won't bring a takala to a tzaddik. But that doesn't mean the tzaddik can get away with anything. It means that the tzaddik's not posheya, Hashem won't let him have a takala. But if the tzaddik's posheya, let's take the case of Rishmal. This is the most obvious answer for Rishmal. For Rishmal, there's a gzira darabanan, not to read lo yikrol or haner. He was a big posheya. He thought he was so great, made the mistake of Shlomo Melech. He didn't need the gzira because he wouldn't do Chal Shabbos anyway. Hashem's not going to protect him in that case. If it's your own fault, Hashem's not going to protect you, right? Hashem will, if you wear the seatbelt, Hashem will protect you from a freak accident. If you decide not to wear a seatbelt, you can't expect Hashem to protect you. And that's basically what's going on. Here it is a case where it was not the Pshia. And here it was a case where it was Pshia. Without Pshia, Hashem would protect the Chamer people of the vineyard. Didn't do anything wrong. Hashem protected it from a Avera. Rav Meir didn't do anything wrong. He was eating something he thought was kosher. Hashem protected him from Avera. Rav Chini ben Gamliel, even though he's Matal Emi Yaseira, he didn't take Yisurim lightly. He wasn't making L'Helchus Kasha. Hashem would have protected him. And likewise, in the case of the Eved, Helu Eved, he gave an honest Eidos based on what he saw, which just it happened to be confusing, and Hashem would protect him. In the case of Shabbos, he was Pasha. Of course Hashem's not going to protect you if you yourself are Poshea. And then L'Chora, here it gets a little tricky. You have to figure out the rest of these. How do you answer the rest of these? Maybe by the case of Eitzel, maybe he was also Poshea. You might have to take an Okimta. Why do you kill an Eitzel when you saw a Halacha? Because he was Poshea and he didn't check in Chazer the Halachas before he did a Mises Bezdin. And since Havim Masin Masunim Adin applied particularly to the Nefashos, he should have been more careful. How about the case of Psachim? Maybe that was also Poshea. You know, he should have made Havdalah right away instead of delaying. How about the case of Rosh Hashanah? Here it's a little harder to say Shia if they got the wrong day, but you could say that Rosh Hashanah is not a problem in the first place because here's a big machlokas. What are we darshan about Kviyas Haluach? Atem? Okay, what's the drashan? Mishra Rosh Hashanah? Shechik Ruol Sam? We read it Atem? Atem afilu shogin, afilu atem afilu muzina, atem afilu mutayim. Rosh Hashanah is not so clear that's an avera in the first place. Meaning, two of these are not supposed to be over here in the first place. Maybe the guy was supposed to die, even though he didn't follow the technical procedures. Rosh Hashanah, when we say, even if you made a mistake, it's still a valid calendar, is that only the Bezdin HaGadol, or is that even a particular community? If you say that Atam Filo Shogun applies not only to one Bezdin HaGadol in Israel, but to each Jewish community, each Kehillah, then if in Bavel, they made a mistake in the Luach, they were right for themselves, and they weren't doing an Avera. They were just doing something strange, but not an Avera. So you get out of that. Okay, Lamaisa, these are the four shitas on when Hashem would and wouldn't bring it to Kala to Tzadikim. And as an interesting Lamdish Nafkamina, in terms of how we view Machol Sasuros compared to other Averas. Is it just you did something wrong once, or is there something more perhaps fundamental about it on some level? Now, the most interesting, of course, halachic sugya that we discussed here, and we're still in the middle of, because there are going to be more examples, right? Basically, the next few sugyas in the Gemara are other cases where someone had some sort of halachic thing to say, and they used a few words of a pasuk, and they did sirtut. You know, we didn't read them yet, because it's not going to change much. The question is, what's the going on here with the sugya of sirtut? There's a lot of important questions to ask about sirtut. Tosfos starts with, happy when you get a chance, please. First he starts the question of Pesach. The Hag Posek Tivra So, first of all, interesting. Do we pass like from Yitzchak or like the Masnisa? Right? Meaning, the Nafkamina, everyone who is two is Mutter, four is Asa. Nafkamina is three. Tosos and almost all the Rishonim, based on the Bahag, pass like from Yitzchak. It's an Amor against the Tana, the Tana should win. No, he must have known this wasn't a an authentic brisa. Someone want to bring me a better proof from our sugya that we possibly could reveal. After all, maybe Rabbi Yitzchak didn't know the brisa. If he knew the brisa, he would have changed his mind. Someone bring me a better proof that we should bring from our sugya to possibly like Rabbi Yitzchak. What's a better proof from our sugya to possibly like Rabbi Yitzchak? After all, he argues on a brisa, so he must have known it was wrong. What do you mean? Maybe he was wrong. Amalei Abaye, what does Abaye say? Atu kol lo yoda to Rabbi Yitzchak lav gavarabahu. Why didn't he say Mandalo Yoda Masnisa Lav Gavarabahu? Why did he say, he didn't know Rav Yitzchak, but he's still a Gavarabah? Why didn't he say he didn't know the Brisa, he's still a Gavarabah? Why did he pick Rav Yitzchak against the Brisa? Abaye seems to imply that we hold like Rav Yitzchak. And that's the Rishonim explain the main reason why we pass like Rav Yitzchak is because Abaye says Mandalo Yoda to Rav Yitzchak and not Mandalo Yoda Masnisa. Who is the one Rishon who paskins clearly like the Brisa? No, not at all. I said clearly. One place. I'll get that. A second, Rashi. Right? There's in one other sugya of Sirtuk, which comes up in Yevamos. Why does it come up in Yevamos? That's also the hundreds of the Rambam. You have to write a shtar, chalitza. A woman, the Bezdin writes a woman a shtar to prove she did chalitza. And in the shtar, they write all the things that she did, including some psukim. What do you have? You have to say, and she read from Main Yavami ad Ava Yavami, etc. From Marzutra, what did I say? From Main Yavami ad Ava Yavami, Marzutra would be Misartate, and write the whole parsha. And she said the words, Main Yavami, Lachim Shem, Lachim Shem Yisrael, Lo Ava Yavmi. And that was a lot of words, so you have to do Sirtut. And Rashi says here, Rashi says, "V'kaimalon shalosh teva shemakor kolsrim dalit in kolsrim." You can write three and not four. Who's three and not four? Three and not four in our sugya is the brisa, is masnisa tana. And Rashi says, "Kaimalon." So Rashi thinks we pass like masnisa. All the other rishonim, and based on the Mahag, think we pass like Rav Yosef. Again, why does Rashi pass like brisa? Tana always beats Namora. Why do the other rishonim pass like Rav Yosef? How do they know the masnisa not ikar? Mistamak is of Abaye. Rabbi Yitzchak, sorry. And the Rambam is funny. Why is the Rambam funny? Why is the Rambam funny? He wasn't making jokes. Because the Rambam is Soser himself. The Rambam is Soser himself. And it depends where you look. If you look in Hilchos Yibam, what does he say? Right? In Hilchos Yibam, when he discusses the sugya of the Shtar Yibam, at the very end of Hilchos Yibam B'chalitza, the Rambam says very, very, very explicitly. What? Say it louder. Aser lichtov shalosh tevos. Here it is. You're not allowed to write three, which is like Rav Yitzchak. However, if you look in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Tefillin u'mezuzah, then the Rambam writes it's us. It's mutter to write three. It's us to write four. Right. Okay, so the Rambam Sosa himself, we will obviously come back to that. Obviously something has to be done about the Stira, but we're not ready for it yet, so let's just point out, Behag and the Rishonim, Paskin like Rav Yitzchak, Rashi in Yevamos, and I have no reason to think he Paskin's like the Brisa, and the Rambam is Sosa himself. The Rif, interestingly, doesn't say either way, so I'm not sure why. Interestingly, the Rif brings them both down. You'd think he should Paskin. So it's interesting. You wonder if there's some link between the Rif and the Rambam. All the Rif does is brings down the sugya. Why didn't he paskin? Maybe the Rif also thought they were both right in some strange way. That's why he didn't paskin, but it's hard to say. Okay, let's come back to that. We're not ready to come back to that yet. Let's start with Tosos. Tosos starts with a big machlokas Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivon, the name Rabbeinu Eliyahu, say that if it's a literary flourish, you don't have to do Sirtut, only if it's for actual Talmud Torah. Like our sugya is for actual Talmud Torah. He was trying to give, according to the theory of praise, but according to everyone else's criticism, he was trying to say that, no, look, they're violating this pasuk. And definitely in the ones of Davzayim and Aleph, he was quoting Halacha Lemaisa. But nowadays, people often do literary flourishes based on psukim. For a literary flourish, you don't need to underline. However, he points out in the Rishalmi, most Rishalmi disagree with him, because in the Rishalmi, the parallel to this Rishalmi is in Megillah, not here. And then as a case where he wrote just the Divrei Bracha, he says, Reshischa mitzar haya ma'og yiskach risach, with the original pasuk. In Eov, I believe, is Vayarishischa mitzar v'acharischa yiske ma'od. So he changed the order. Why he changed the order? So he wouldn't have to do sirta. That sounds like even Stam, a literary flourish, you have to do sirta. Okay. The most Rishonim seem to agree with, based on the Shalmi, that you have to do sirta even for literary flourish. Tosus ends with, he says, however, most of the case in the Yerushalmi were drasha. Not exactly clear what he means by this, somewhat. But the Rav and others assume is that he's saying is that it could be the Yerushalmi that only when it's real, for real Limud Torah, you have to do sirta, not for literary flourish. But if he would have written Reishischa, the Hayar Reishischa Mitzar, the Achariska, yes, Yiske, Ma'od, as a bracha, giving someone a bracha from the Tanakh, that's like real Talmud Torah, because it's a real application of the Tanakh. Saying you should have this bracha in Tanakh counts as, maybe it's not a Talmud Torah of Tanakh, it's not a Psach Halacha, but it counts as a real, authentic use of Tanakh. I'm applying the Pasuk to you, as opposed to just Stam, you know, a literary flourish, right? Like nowadays when we have negotiations in a contract and they say, Higiyo al Emek Shaveh, right? Based on the Pasuk, al Emek Shaveh hu Emek HaMelech, right? Even like Rabbi Yitzchak, you wouldn't have to underline those three words. That has nothing to do with the Pasuk. But this case is a little borderline. What if I'm giving you a bracha from a pasuk? This pasuk should be miskayim on you. But I'm not learning a halacha. So it could be that's what Tosfos means in the end, that since all the other cases in the Yerushalmi are halachos, mistama bracha counts as halacha, counts as real Torah, but a literary flourish would not. Okay, that's a machlokas, halacha lemaisa. The mechaber, if I recall correctly, is mekel on a literary flourish like Tosfos, but the Shach says that no, we should be machmir because most Yerushalmi are machmir. Okay, continuing. Tosfos continues to ask another question. How come tefillin don't need sirtut? It's a halacha. The Gemara says in a few places, mezuzah needs sirtut, tefillin doesn't need sirtut. Okay, what's missing? Sefer Torah, right? How can you have, it's like having a chirish and a shilta without katan. How can you have mezuzah and tefillin without a Sefer Torah? So, interestingly, Sefer Torah is missing. Mezuzah needs sirtut, and tefillin doesn't need sirtut, and we're not sure where Sefer Torah belongs. We'll get to it in a moment. It's a machlokas rishonim. So the obvious question is, what do you mean tefillin doesn't need sirtut? Tanach, you want to say sirtut was exeris hakasa by stam, you know, by certain formal ritual objects. Say, okay, it's exeris hakasa that mezuzah needs sirtut. Sefer Torah, we're not sure, and tefillin doesn't. But every two or three words of Torah, every three or four words of Torah, depending who you ask, needs sirtut. If every three or four words of Torah needs sirtut, how could tefillin not need sirtut? That is Tosfos' question. Okay, how do we answer Tosfos' question? Right? Now, the Rishonim will point out there's a parallel question, which is, the Gemara says, halachah moshe misinai that mezuzah needs sirtut. Why do you need a halachah moshe misinai that mezuzah needs sirtut if all Divrei Torah needs sirtut? Okay, but just... It's really the same question. Meaning, if all Divrei Torah needs sirtut, then why do you need a reason to have mezuzah, and why does tefillin not? All Divrei Torah needs sirtut. Okay, what are the answers to this question? How do we answer this question? Right? Lama ain't tefillin sripin sirtut. Why don't tefillin need sirtut if everything needs sirtut? Okay, the most technical answer is found in the Kesef Mishnah. It's not such an attractive answer to me. What does the Kesef Mishnah answer?
You never see them, they're old.
That's not what the Kesef Mishnah answers. Interestingly, it's what you'd think you would answer, because that's what the Rambam says. But what does the Kesef Mishnah says? What do you mean? All words of Torah need sirtut. The Kesef Mishnah says? No? Am I making up this Kesef Mishnah? Says the Kesef Mishnah, not in Perek Aleph, but in Perek Zayin, when the Rambam says all words of Torah need sirtut. Now again, more people say that's not what the Kesef Mishnah should have said. Maybe you're right, but that's not the topic right now. Mistama, he would have something to say back to you. Says the Kesef Mishnah here, he says that, give me a second, sorry. In Tomer, Hechem in Tefillin Loboy Sirtut. How could Tefillin not need Sirtut? What do you mean? Every four words need Sirtut. The Yishlomer, the Hazan HaKhamer, the Tam Tushet Tfilin in Shrich Sirtur. The Ilu Ratzah Shalom Lichtav Yoser, the Gimel Tevos, Vol Shita Rashai Hu, Masha Enke, Mesefer Torah. Vol Enoch Nam Shem Kosm Yoser, the Gimel Tevos, the Shita Achas, Sarek Lassartate. Says the Kesem Mishnah, he says, no, of course Tfilin needs Sirtur if you write four words. It just means that Tfilin don't need Sirtur if you write less than four words. How can you write less than four words in Tfilin? After all, I haven't counted how many words Tfilin is, but it's not more than four. No, it's per line. And what you write in another line doesn't count. It's only per line. That's a chiddush, that it's per line. So says the Kesef Mishnah. Okay, it's a big okimta. Kes the Kesef Mishnah. No, it just means if there's only three words per line, then it doesn't need sirtut. Okay, you make some kenta. When tefillin don't need sirta, that means they don't need sirta if they're not four words, if they're only three words.
Why is that different than other...
A mezuzah, the malach must be seen, I need sirta even if there's only three words on a line. That chiddush of needing sirta mitzad the kedusha chetza, even if there's only three words on a line, that doesn't apply too. We could just, let me make the parallel. Lama tzrichem halacha lamosha misinai. Lachaye mezuza the sirtot, which is a flip side, the Kesef would say, lachaye mezuza she'ein bo ella gimel tevos b'chol shura. That's why the halacha which we see now is a mezuza, even if it doesn't have four words, needs sirtot. But tefillin, if they don't have four words, they don't need sirtot. Okay, that is it's a bit of a dachuk answer. I'm not sure why the Kesef Mishnah was not satisfied with the other answers. What more do you want to say?
The Kesef Mishnah in Perek Aleph, he says because it's put away.
give me a second. First of all, the Rambam does, not the Kesef Mishnah.
No, Kesef Mishnah.
Isn't that a quote from the Rambam?
Perish Rabbeinu, okay.
Yeah. Fascinatingly, but the Kesef Mishnah there is not asking from our sugya. Right? Does the Kesef Mishnah in Perek Aleph ask from what the Gemara in Gittin? No. He seemingly thinks that's a different Indian than the Gemara in Gittin. Okay, why? We'll have to figure out in a moment. What is the Rambam answer? What would you have said the Rambam answered? Why doesn't Tfilin need Sirtot? What did the Rambam say in Perek Aleph? Halachah should be seen. I say in close and say for Torah lo mezuza ela b'sirtot. Aval tefillin ainan tzrichin sirtot lefi shehein mechupin. Tefillin don't need sirtot because they are mechupin. Okay, they're covered. Now the Rambam is not directly asking this question. The Rambam is just explaining why tefillin is different than mezuzah and sefer Torah. But the other Rishonim are asking this question, right? Who gives this answer in our sugya? Who gives this answer in our sugya? No one? No one? The Ramban here. No? Am I crazy? What does the Ramban here say? The Ramban here says, well, he gives two answers. Let's give two answers. One answer, the Ramban and the Rashba here. One answer of the Ramban and the Rashba here is, and the Rashba and others. Who else did I put on the sheet? Did I put the Ritz on the sheet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, but he doesn't give this one. Okay, they say, why don't Philip need Sirtut? They say it's a, I wouldn't say there's a kasuv, because kasuv sadly has to be written. It's a chiddush al pi halacha Moshe Mitzrayim de tefillin gora mikol dalid tevos. You're right, of course tefillin should need sirtut. It's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that tefillin don't need sirtut. Really, theoretically, tefillin should need sirtut because it's four words. However, it comes halacha Moshe Mitzrayim and says, Tefillin is gara, means more makel than every four words. Every four words in a letter from Rav Yassar or Rav Elazar Mar Ukva or whoever it may be needs sirtut, but tefillin don't need sirtut. I'll be halacha moshe b'sinai. Okay, can't argue on a halacha moshe b'sinai. Tosos actually has what in one place suggests the halacha moshe b'sinai is davka not to be sirtut by tefillin. In the footnotes to the Shira Rav here, it says that Rav Chaim ordered special tefillin that didn't have sirtut. Just to be machmir for this idea, it's halacha moshe b'sinai not to be a sirtut tefillin. I mean, it's taking one step further, not just that you don't need. Moses in one place says halacha moshe b'sinai, and this also answers this question, which is why you need a halacha moshe b'sinai b'chayiv sirtut. You could say that you don't need the halacha moshe b'sinai for mezuzah, but rather for tefillin. You don't need halacha moshe b'sinai. You're right. You don't need halacha moshe b'sinai to say mezuzah needs sirtut. After all, every four words are three words in sirtut. The halacha moshe b'sinai is not mi'chayiv mezuzah, even though that's what it sounded like. It's the pater tefillin. Okay, so that is a answer. Why are tefillin different? We don't necessarily. know yet, but someone want to tell me a logical reason why tefillin wouldn't need sirtut? Meaning, Kesemish says basically tefillin do need sirtut if they have four words. They're just not extra machmer, and they don't need sirtut if they have only two or three words. You could say halacha moshe b'sinai. Someone tell me the obvious logical reason.
Why
tefillin don't need sirtut, even though every three words do.
Because you're not opening up and not reading it.
Because it's not for kriya, right? That is the opinion of the Ramban, the second day Ramban, and the Ritva, and the Meiri here. And I would add L'chora the Ramban. Why do I say L'chora? I would say Pashut, that's the Ramban's answer. Because the Ramban says, but tefillin don't need sirtut because they're covered. The only thing in Kesemish didn't think that was an answer to this question. He thought that must be an answer to a different question, which I'll have to get to. But Pashas the Rambam is going like Ramban, the Ritva and the Meiri. They say, because it's mechupin, meaning lo nitnu lekriya, because you don't read tefillin. You only need sirtut on something which you read. If you don't read it, then there's no need for... If you don't read it, then there's no need for sirtut. why? What does Ramban add? Because what's the point of sirtut? Here you get something very lundish.
To read it straight. You know,
the point of sirtut is that the lines will be straight, and it'll look nice, and it'll be readable. After all, if you don't do sirtut, the lines come out crooked. If you do sirtut, the lines come out straight. The point of sirtut is to make the writing clear. And therefore, if it's going to be read, you need sirtut to make the writing clear. Why is tefillin any more makel than four words of Torah? So, the first answer is, halacha moshe b'sinai is more makel than four words of Torah. Then he says, no, maybe there's a svara. Tefillin is more makel than four words of Torah because four words of Torah need to be read. Tefillin doesn't need to be read, so why do you care how straight it is? As long as it has the word there, it's just an amulet, right?
Why is the mezuzah different?
So why does mezuzah... Great question. Why does mezuzah need to... why does mezuzah need to... need sirtut then?
Somebody bring that in. Because you have to check it every 7 years.
So, here it gets a little tricky. Here it gets a little tricky. It could be that that's why you need halacha moshe b'sinai, right? That you need
it's counterintuitive.
Halacha moshe b'sinai to be mechayav afalpi she'eino omein likriya. Maybe you need halacha moshe b'sinai to be mechayav mezuzah, even though it's not omein likriya. Maybe that's the halacha moshe b'sinai. That's what. Where's the Ramban? I don't have more sheet, but I do have the Ramban. That's also good. Right. And why?
So he says, if I...
The Testament Mishnah brings down the Ron, who says that it's because of the mezuzah. You have to open the mezuzah.
Great. But what does the Ramban say? He says, in a second approach, give me a second. Oh, Nefshar Lomar, that tefillin mezuzahs, you're not reading them, you don't need sertot. You only need certain things you read, Kadesh Elish, Arbashitos, so that the lines don't blend into each other. Yards Karban, you can read them quickly. The halacha Elish Sinai required for mezuzah, but tefillin is left in its logical place. So you could say the halacha Elish Sinai is to Mirchai mezuzah, that is what the Ramban says. You could also say it's logical to require it for mezuzah. Why? This interesting question. Is mezuzah only the kriya more than tefillin? So the Ramban seems to think not. He says mezuzah and tefillin are the same thing. They're not for reading. What are they for? They're for chalos. Right? They're not for reading. Halacha must be seen. Mezuzah needs and tefillin doesn't. We don't necessarily need a hesmer. But you could say, what does someone quoted me, the Kesef Mishnah quoting the Ran, what does he say? Right? Didn't someone quote me that? Right, because you have to check them. You never have to check your tefillin, okay? Now, they sometimes were machber, it's a big machlokas, but you have to check the mezuzah every 7 years, and that's all. What? What did the Ran say? What did the Ran say? Read it for me again. I'll read it. What does he say here? He says, once every 7 years. Okay, it's a big machlokas. But the Ritva here says the same thing right here in Gittin. Mezuzah is different because you have to check it once every 7 years. Since you have to check it once every 7 years, therefore it's nitan l'kriya, and therefore it's different. So here it's an interesting question. You could easily say, by the way, that the halacha Moshe Sinai is for, that's the Ritva seems to imply. The Ritva seems to imply that because the Ritva, the truth is, he also says this way. The Ritva sort of combines them. What do I mean by that? I'm going to go arrow. He says there's halacha Moshe Sinai, but there's a reason behind halacha Moshe Sinai. And he says why are mezuzahs different? Because you have to check them once every 7 years. That's interesting. Meaning, is checking called reading, or is checking called checking? Right. Yes, I know you have to check them once every 7 years, but not to read the content, just to make sure that it didn't wear out.
I check the reading after reading.
Okay. Yeah, Isaac?
All right, I'm an additional answer.
Okay, 1 second. You could say something much easier, which is that tefillin, that's the Rav suggested, tefillin has to be sealed up, has to be unreadable. Right? If you leave your tefillin readable, then they are puzzle, right? Because they have to be mechupin. You have to sew them up in a box where you can't get to them. That's the halacha. Mezuzah, does mezuzah have to be unreadable? Here it's not so clear. Like, does mezuzah have to be rolled up and put in a box? Or is that just a convenient way to protect it from the elements? But if you want, you could just paste your mezuzah flat on the... what if I just take my mezuzah, I don't roll it up, I paste it flat on the doorpost. Now, I'm not recommending this as good financial advice to anyone, because no doubt you will have to replace your mezuzah very often, and nowadays they're very expensive. All right, and even in the old days when they weren't expensive, still, it was a tircha to replace them often, and then until you replaced it, you wouldn't have a mezuzah. Or you wouldn't have a kosher mezuzah. So it's not a great idea, but is it a halacha that the mezuzah has to be rolled up and sealed, or is that just an etzah tova to protect it from the elements? So the Rav associates himself in different places about this, but you could easily say, you know why mezuzah is different? Mezuzah is different because even though it's not necessary for it to be read, and it's clearly the Torah doesn't require that it be available for reading, but you theoretically could read the mezuzah. Not once every 7 years. You theoretically could read the mezuzah every day because you don't have to sew it up, but you can't theoretically read the tefillin every day because... You know, they would passel the tefillin if you wanted to read them. So here, you could just say it's halacha Moshe Sinai Stam. You could also say maybe there's a svara lechila bein tefillin lemezuzah. What might the svara be? The Ritva and the Ran, the Ran's the Kesef Mishnah, say mezuzah livdekes achas l'shavua. Keep in mind, of course, shavua in the Gemara
Never means?
7 days.
A week. Correct. There is no word Shavua meaning week in the Gemara. That's just in modern Hebrew. Shavua means a 7-year Shemitah cycle. How would you say a week?
Shabbos.
Shabbos. The...
Shavua no, means.
What?
Shavua
means. I was thinking...
So, okay, that's a fascinating question. I don't know exactly what... No one knows exactly what Shavua HaBein means. Could it have to do with... that's not a good proof, because we certainly have no reason to think it has to do with week. Why should Shavua HaBein... Oh, why should Shavua HaBein have to do with week? You made it when the baby's a week old?
No.
I don't know. I don't know what Shavua HaBein means. Maybe it means...
It means during the week.
Okay, maybe it means during the 7 days. It doesn't mean like Sunday to Saturday. Okay, whatever. Anyway, and the LP the Rambam, it sounds like, and this is the Rambam, LP the Rambam. No. Bitfillin, Einon Omdin Lakriya, LP Din. Masha Ein Kane Ben Mezuzah. A mezuzah doesn't have to be available for reading, but there's no din that it can't be readable. Tefillin is a din that it can't be readable. So mezuzah, coincidentally, you don't read it. But that doesn't change the halacha. Just coincidentally, you don't read it. Tefillin, the hagdarah, it can't be read. And therefore, that is different. Of course, here is a whatever you say, meaning there are three ways to understand why mezuzah is different than tefillin. One way is just halacha moshe v'sina with no hesber, what the Ramban says here. One way is what the Ritva says here. Halacha moshe v'sina with a hesber. What's the hesber? The hesber is, why do you need the halacha moshe v'sina, he would say, to tell you where to draw the line. Because after all, mezuzah is still not the same as a sefer Torah. It's only, hey, do you draw the line at once every 7 years, or once every 6 years? Or once every 8 years? No, or once every day? Or once every week? So that's okay, tefillin, you have to read once every 7 years. And mezuzah, you never have to read. And the Pshat of the Rambam is just mechupin. Tefillin is covered. Mezuzah is not covered. What do you mean mezuzah is not covered? The Rambam writes that when you put up mezuzah, you cover it. No, obviously the Rambam means that mezuzah, it's not a din that it's covered. It just happens to be an Eitzah Tova to cover it. And that would be the same. What if I had a Sefer Torah, and for some reason I decided to lock it up in a safe in a time capsule and never read it? It doesn't matter. It's still something which is readable, even though coincidentally I decided to lock it up in a time capsule. Okay, that's how the Rav understands the Rambam, that it's just not mit chupin. And obviously, there's a fundamental lumdish assumption here, which we're going to have to come back to, which is that the chiyuv of sirtut is only for things that are read, because the chiyuv of sirtut is only to make the line straight. As opposed to, you might have thought the chiyuv of sirtut is just to do sirtut. Right? Okay. Fascinating question we'll get to, right?
It's also the third of those eight.
What?
You do sirtin because the Kaylee von Mayo wanted to be pretty.
Yeah, hold on.
Because of the
you are misquoting. No one says you do sirtin to make it pretty. They say you do sirtin to make the line straight to make it pretty. But it's still coming down to the line straight. No one says sirtin is pretty by itself.
No,
sirtin is pretty because it makes the line straight. Right, it could be to make the lines look nice, not to make them more readable. Fair enough. Although Tosos here, he says that's not the din of sirtin, that's just use your judgment. But you're right. You could go both ways, and we'll come back to that.
We're going to have gigantic partials.
Right. Basically, what the Kesef Mishnah means is that it's only some theoretical nafkamina, which really doesn't make
any sense. The last three words on the last line.
Could be. Or it could be he was just saying some theoretical nafkamina, which has nothing to do with real life. You know, things like that happen in the Babylonian Talmud. Now, no one ever told me Tosfos here. No one ever told me Tosfos. What does Tosfos say? How does Tosfos answer this question? How could tefillin be less than four every four words? Right? Basically, let's just have a question. Is tefillin more mako than four words, or just not more makir than four words? Right? If Es Mishnah just says, it's not more makir than regular Divrei Torah. It's not more machmir. Three words you don't have to, four words you do like regular Divrei Torah. This answer of the Ramban is saying it's more mekel. Halacha moshe v'sina is more mekel. And Mechupin is actually giving a svara why it's more mekel. How about Tosos? Does Tosos think tefillin is more mekel than every three words? Every four words? Or just not more machmir than every four words? What does Tosos think? The halacha moshe v'sina is coming to say, don't make it more machmir than regular Divrei Torah? or make it more makel than regular Dibrei Torah. What does Tosfos think? We all read Tosfos.
You're on the first line.
What does Tosfos think? There are Tzvei Dinim of, right, of Sirtut. Every four words of Torah needs Sirtut where? Only on the first line. Why? How does Sirtut on the first line help? So the first line is straight. Then what happens?
Everything will be light
through all those. Ah, then you use the first line to write the second line. Use the second line to write the third line, and it works out pretty decently, right? It's not bad. If you start with the first line crooked, then it just gets crookeder and crookeder. If you start with the first line straight, you have a chance of it working out, right? Tosfos says at least if you're skilled, right?
So it says Tosfos. He says no. Tefillin is just not more chomer, right? Say, here, in a box. This is just, I mean, it's not lumless, just getting it straight. The box is comparing tefillin. Tefillin versus Stam Divrei Torah. Kesa Mishnah says, tefillin is not more chomer, it's like Stam Divrei Torah. The Rabban El says, it's more kal. Halacha was Sinai. Al pi mechupin, we say misur. It's more kal. Tosfos says, no, it's just not more chomer. What does Tosfos say? He says, fill in. They need sirtut. Nishra el yona. They need sirtut on the top line, like all divrei Torah. Just not sirtut b'chol shura v'shura like a mezuzah. Right? Tefillin needs sirtut on the top line like all words of Torah. For Rabbi Yasser and everyone else, it was enough to sirtut on the first line. They need sirtut on the first line like all words of Torah. They just don't need sirtut on every line like mezuzah. Now we understand why do you not love the Mishnah for mezuzah? L'chayev sirtut Bichol Shura Vishura. Yeah. Mezuzah Zalachim which you see now you need sirtut on every line, more so than regular Divrei Torah. The din of regular Divrei Torah is to have sirtut on top, meaning there's Tzvei Dinim and sirtut. There's din of every four words, which of course includes tefillin, which is little garah from four words, to have sirtut on the top line. Then there's a din of mezuzah, which means sirtut on every line. Before we explore this, the implications of this further, I just want to point out there is a fifth answer that I'm aware of, which the Meiri quotes from the Yesh Omer. The Meiri himself doesn't like this answer. The Meiri himself, I put him down here, says, because you don't read it. So the purpose is to make clear writing to be readable. What did the Yesh Omer and the Meiri say? Why is Tilum less than four words? Big Yesod. He makes a big Chiddush. He says he makes a big Okimta on the dinner of Yitzhak and the Masnisa. Where am I going to put the HM and the Meiri? I want to see another color. There should be a blue one theoretically. You want to see the blue one? Must have died.
Okay. The HM and the Meiri says the Meiri doesn't like it. But the Meiri B'Shem Yesh Omrim says, He says, no, tefillin is more kal than four words. Why? And here brings a chiddush. He says, Rav Yitzhak and the Masnisa only required sirtut on four words of Torah if exactly. Okay. If I was time Salvechik, I would have just stormed out. I might not have even given you time to answer. Luckily, I'm not. Or unluckily. Unclear. Says the Meiri, quotes Yesh Omer, he says, no, the din of Rav Yitzchak Masnisa is only in the context we have, when you write Divrei Torah in a letter of Divrei Chol. Right? Says the Meiri in the name of Yesh Omer, he says, no. The din of Rav Yitzchak and Masnisa is only if the Divrei Torah are written with Divrei Chol. That doesn't apply to Tefillin. Tefillin is not written with Divrei Chol. What's the point? The point is, why do you have to do sirtut? Clearly not to make it straight. You have to do sirtut. What's the point of sirtut then?
Differentiate.
To differentiate, to show the divrei Torah, not the divrei chol. After all, if you write a letter with divrei Torah and divrei chol, then it could look like divrei Torah is the same as divrei chol, and it could blur the lines. But we know divrei Torah different than divrei chol. To make divrei Torah special, you have to differentiate them from the divrei chol. Why didn't halacha Moshe Mishinai mezuzah? No, mezuzah is halacha Moshe Mishinai lechayev sirtut afal pi she'enam me'uravim em divrei chol. Yeah. By mezuzah, the halacha Moshe Mishinai needs sirtut, even though they're not mixed with divrei chol. And by tefillin, you don't have that halacha Moshe Mishinai, you don't need sirtut. Midin mezuzah. How about midin Rav Yitzchak? Rav Yitzchak doesn't apply to tefillin. Rav Yitzchak only applies the divrei Torah mixed with divrei chol in order not to confuse them with divrei chol. That is the big chiddush of the Yesh Omer in the Meiri. We'll have to see if any of Yishonim really agree with him. It's interesting. The Meiri quoted another Yesh Omer there. In the Meiri, he quoted that Yesh Omer and he didn't love it. He didn't love it. And then he quotes a minhag, a yeshno. Again, we have other makoros for that minhag. He quotes a yeshno again. Let me find you that yeshno again in the Meiri. Tzvi, did you want to say something? That's what the Lechem Mishnah says. Okay, I mean, that's not so fundamentally different, right? The Lechem Mishnah says it's not just to make it special to show you theoretically, it's that you don't throw it in the garbage like you would with regular Divrei Chol. Okay, fair enough, fair enough. The Lechem Mishnah takes in that way. In the Yesh Omer himself, it's hard to tell. We don't know who the Yesh Omer is. But you definitely could say that. Okay, you definitely could say that. I agree. What does he say here? Give it in a second. He says here, I apologize. Only mezuzah and megillah needs a special halacha Moshe Mishinai. Only mezuzah is special if it's written properly. Mezuzah mekach halacha megillah shtricha chizuk. Mezuzah halacha Moshe Mishinai megillah because it needs extra chizuk because it's might think it's not kaddish. Aval kol shu matig amekum mekomo kol shu shulal seder. When you take words out of context and write them not in their order. Or if you make just a few psukim to teach a tinok, hold the ink kedushas and chashuv ba'atmos, since it doesn't really have its own kedusha. Here, okay, you have to figure out the gear. So the chor the gear should be tzrichin sirtut. Vadvar and zarim, he doesn't like it. Okay, so it might be only if it's here. He says maybe if it's not written to break hold, it's just taken out of context. Only if it's taken out of context, do you need sirtut. He quotes another interesting yeshu. Yesh no again lasses the kudos ala mikar kshen kloson so below sirtut. The rami sirtut veinu klom. Some people have the minhag that if they don't want to do sirtut, they make dots on the letters instead as a remez of sirtut. And he doesn't like that either. That is actually, interestingly, the Tashbates quotes this as well and doesn't know the svara. Why would some people have a svara to write dots on it instead of sirtut? How could that help? If it's just about differentiating, showing it's special, then maybe these people had a svara. As long as you do something to show that it's special, that's good enough. Maybe the svara of the dots, I saw that a few achronim, the svara of the dots is the same as for the Yishim and the Meiri. Since we're not sure that it's special, then maybe you didn't say it's a divrei chol, but let's say better, only if the divrei Torah are written out of context, let's say. Right, out of context. You're not actually writing a sefer to fill in a mezuzah and something holy. You're just thumb writing some words. Then you need to make them special by sirta to remind you that they're special. So some people say that's pshat of the dots. I'm not so convinced that's pshat of the meaning of dots. Anyone know in the old days what it meant when you put a dot on a letter? In the old days, like 2,000 years ago, or even less. What did it mean when you put a dot on something? Right, it means to erase it. Right, if ink is expensive, you want to erase something, you don't like take a magic marker and erase it. What's the easiest way to erase something without using a lot of ink is to put a dot on it. In the old days, a dot meant to delete it. It was just a deletion. That's why, you know, sometimes we darshan the dots. It's complicated, as if they're not there. Right? Because a dot means, like, okay, as if it's not there. Anyway, so it could just be the minig was that, if you don't want to use sirta, you put a dot on it to erase it, because then you haven't really written it. And they thought that that was a good trick. After all, I haven't really written it if I erased it, and therefore I didn't write anything without sirta. I think that was the svara. It might not be a good svara, but I think the svara of the dots was probably, since I'm erasing it, therefore it doesn't count as writing without sirta. But it could also be the svara of the dots was like, maybe it's the same Yeshomer and the Meiri. We don't know who these people are. Maybe the same people who said you only need it when you're writing it in out of context, you know, Shalobik Dusha, to just remind you that it's Kadosh. Therefore, a dot could also do it, because anything that makes it special and reminds you would be good enough.
Do you have any thoughts on the way that it's happening in the sugya, that like everyone has their own perspective on what's logical and what's illogical? Like, you'll see sugyas like this that often, that like there's so much irrational, but let me just decide which part of it is rational.
Okay, maybe you're doing it so often. I think the reason is clear, because most sugyas have a basis. They're like, here's the din, here's where the din comes from, now let's apply it. This sugya, they never told us where sirta comes from, why, right? Meaning there's no basis for sirta, they just throw it in. If there's no basis, what's the basic lumdish problem? The basic lumdish problem is, everyone doesn't know, is there one din of sirta, are there two din of sirta, right? What's the reason for the din of sirta, etc.? I think that's really the problem here. The real problem here is that we're just not sure why there's a din of sirta in the first place. Now, okay, I'm not going to get to the deep lumdish right now, I just want to point out one other thing, Morty.
The reason for the dots also could be because the sirtut, you say, is you're doing it so it's easier to read. Well, if you're writing crooked, but you have dots between each line, you know, like here, you're drawing a line.
Maybe the dots make it easier to read. Okay, F sure. You never know.
Can you say that a quotation mark?
Like, we use quotation marks so it's something special. Who knows?
That's
or
special. That's special necessarily.
It's different. Right, okay, we use something, yeah. Maybe nowadays we'd use a different font. Who knows? Right? Okay, let us point out one other machlokas, and then maybe we'll have to save some of the lumdas for next time. The end of Tosos. How about a Sefer Torah? Right? We're going to have to remember this for next time, because all the lumdas is going to be based on this. But we don't have time to spend all the chakiras now. So, have a simple fill-in. Don't need sirtut. Mezuzah does need sirtut. How about Sefer Torah? Sefer Torah is not listed there. Does Sefer Torah need sirtut or not? So, what is Tosfos hold?
No.
What is Tosfos Rashi is holding?
Yes.
What do all the other Rishonim hold? Not fair, we haven't learned all the other Rishonim, but pretty much, yes. What would all the other Rishonim hold? We read the Rambam, didn't we? The Rambam wrote that yes, Sefer Torah Mezuzah does, Tfilin doesn't. All the other Rishonim agree with Rashi. For sure, if you hold that the reason Tfilin doesn't is because it's Mechupin, then Mezuzah, you have to tell us it needs Sirtut, because you don't really read it. Sefer Torah obviously needs Sirta, because the whole point of Sefer Torah is to read it all the time. Right, so Sefer Torah is basically my focus between Tosfos and Rashi and the Rambam and the other Rishonim. They all say it needs. Why isn't it listed? Everyone's going to have to say why it's not listed in the Gemara. Tosfos will say, why is it not in the Gemara? Just, you know, I mean, whatever. The Gemara only talks about Mezuzah and Tefillin. Why doesn't it list Sefer Torah? Is going to be equally dochlik for everyone. What does Tosfos point out? Tosfos brings a riot to himself. He says, the Gemara says in the Megillah that a Megillah needs Sirtut. How do we know Megillah needs Sirtut? Divrei Shalom Be'emes Ka'amita Shel Torah. Hold on a second. Ka'amita Shel Torah. What does Rashi say? They're like a Sefer Torah. What does the Rambam say? Like the Torah. Okay, simple question. Hold it, says Tosos. If you're learning it from the Torah, there's a better way to learn it. After all, what's the Megillah called? V'nichtav ba sefer. Right? V'nichtav ba sefer. Right? If it's called a sefer, then what do you need different shalom v'emes? It's called a sefer.
Right? That's Tosfos Kasha on Rashi. Right? Here's the Kasha. The question is, why do you need Divrei Shalom VeEmes if Megillah is called a Sefer? So answers Tosfos. Tosfos is very pashut. Because Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirtut. That's why you can't learn from Sefer. Because Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirtut. What needs Sirtut? Only Mezuzah. If only Mezuzah needs Sirtut, then you have to have a different drasha. What the drasha? Divrei Shalom VeEmes Ka Mita Shel Torah. What does that Mita Shel Torah? It doesn't mean the truth of Torah. It means the truest part of the Torah, the ikar of the Torah, the principles of the Torah. What are the principles of the Torah? L'chor, it's true, the mezuzah, right? Not tefillin, right? Tefillin has kaddish, but yakav yachal, those aren't principles of the Torah, right? That we have to give a b'chor. That's not a principle of the Torah. But what does mezuzah have? Shema v'yom shema, those are the principles of the Torah. Since it's also not the principle of the Torah. Principle of the Torah is shema shem elkeinu shem echad, v'yahav to b'chol levav chol nafshecha, and v'yom shema, schar v'onesh, those are the emes of the Torah. And Tos just says that Amita Shel Torah equals Mezuzah. So that's why you need to darshan Amita Shel Torah, and it's not enough to darshan. It's not enough to darshan Sefer, because Sefer, only Sefer Torah is called a Sefer, not a Mezuzah. And a Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirtut. What does it supposed to mean? Doesn't need Sirtut on every line. You want to learn that Megillah needs Sirtut on every line? For that, you have to learn from Mezuzah, so we need Divrei Shalom VeEmes. Okay, what is the Ramban answer to this question? The Ramban gives a second answer. He defends Rashi. Everyone else defends Rashi. Says the Ramban.
For Tosfos, why doesn't the Sefer Torah need Sirtut for Parshas in the Mezuzah?
Because the Sefer Torah is not compared to a Mita Shel Torah. Only the Megillah is compared to a Mita Shel Torah.
But the Mita Shel Torah teaches me that I need Sirtut by this Amita the.
No, when I'm writing the Amita Shel Torah, the Torah's Amita Shel Torah, I need Sirtut. When I'm writing the Torah's called Torah Kula, I don't. Okay, what is the Ramban answer? Anyone ever learn Megillah? The whole sugya that Megillah is called a Sefer.
An Igeris. It's
also called an Igeris, right? And what do they say? For example, it's called a Sefer, therefore it has to be sewn, the Urios, the pages have to be sewn together with sinews. But it's called an Igeris, so you don't need to sew it fully, it's enough to just have like 3 stitches. Right? So says the Ramban, he says very pashut. Because Megillah is also called Igeres, and Igeres means like an informal letter without anything, and therefore, how do you know to darshan the Sefer that it needs Sirtut? Maybe you should darshan Igeres that it doesn't need Sirtut. So we need Divrei Shalom VeEmes to teach that it does need Sirtut. Okay, what's a little lacking in the Ramban, you might notice, is how do we know Divrei Shalom VeEmes means you need Sirtut, right? If it's called a Sefer, so it needs some things like a Sefer Torah. It's called an Igeris, it doesn't need some things like a Sefer Torah. So we don't know where Sirtut goes. Ah, Divrei Shalom VeEmes teach us need Sirtut. Like, where is Divrei Shalom VeEmes telling us need Sirtut? Maybe Adrabe, maybe it means you need the same ink as a Sefer Torah. Maybe it means you need the same sewing as a Sefer Torah. Maybe it means you need the same tanning as a Sefer Torah, etc. All of these are coming from others looking there. So the Ramban is a little weak because we're not sure what the link is between Divrei Shalom VeEmes. Like, his answer is good. Why don't we learn from Sefer? Because Igeris against Sefer, you never know how to darshan. You can make up any theory you want. So you need Divrei Shalom VeEmes to teach us the truth. But how do we know? Where's Divrei Shalom VeEmes? A remez to Sirtut is not 100% clear. Okay, not 100% clear. So that's what's a little dochuk about the Ramban, which he doesn't fully explain, is where's the remez to Sirtut? The Brisker Rav makes a tremendous chiddush here. And with this, we'll have to end. He's medayik in the Rambam. I hope you would be medayik in the Rambam. Let me read you Rashi and Megillah. I'm not opening it up. If I'm lying, you'll tell me later. It says, Divrei Shalom VeEmes, it needs Sirtut like a Sefer Torah Atzma. Okay. Then the questions became, if it needs Sirtut like a Sefer Torah, why not learn from Sefer? So, Tosa says, you're all wrong. Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirtut, only Mezuzah. The Ramban says, because Sefer would be against the Igeres, and you need Divrei Shalom VeEmes, although I still don't know how Divrei Shalom VeEmes means it needs Sirtut more than any other physical requirement. Says the Rambam in Hilchas Megillah. What does the Rambam say in Hilchas Megillah?
You say that Sirtut facilitates both Shalom and Emes.
Is what?
Sirtut facilitates both Shalom and Emes.
How so?
Ah, Sirtut is Shalom and Emes because it makes it easier to read that Shalom. That's a bit of a stretch. Says the Rambam. Tell me what's the difference between the Rambam and Rashi because we only have 2 minutes. Says the Rambam. Ein kosin Megillah ela bidyo alakvilo alaklaf kasefer Torah. You need to use the right ink and the right parchment like a Sefer Torah. Utricha Sirtut ketorah atzma. And it needs Sirtut like the Torah itself. What's interesting, the formulation of the Rambam? He just picked random words for like givun to make it sound nice, or he's being a dayak. What? Yes, and especially in same halacha, it needs yo and gvil and klaf like a sefer Torah. It needs sirtut ketorah atzva. Rashi says it needs sirtut kesefer Torah. The Rambam says it needs sirtut ketorah atzva. What's the difference between kesefer Torah and ketorah atzva? And here again, I apologize that I'm like bringing up all the lumdei shesodas, but I'm not going to put them together on the board until next time. But is what needs sirtut? Is sirtut a requirement of the formal tzura of a sefer? Or is sirtut a requirement of the content? Is sirtut a din in the form or a din in the content? Right? Why does the sefer Torah need sirtut? Because it has to have a formal form or because it has holy content? And then I might add, holy content needs to be written clearly. And so that it can be read easily. Right? Interesting question. Rashi assumes a Sefer Torah needs Sirtut because it's a Sefer. And I'll prove that next time for many Rashis, all of us are on the Makor sheet. Right? Because Sefer Torah. And then he's open to the question, why not learn from Sefer then? The Rambam assumes no. A Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirtut because of the formal form of a Sefer. That's why it needs Dio and Klafwerkvil. It needs sirtut because of the content. And after all, what's the drasha here? Is the drasha about the form or the content? Igeris and Sefer are talking about the form. What is this drasha talking about? The content. Divrei Shalom ve'emes. What's the content? Is the content Divrei Shalom ve'emes or Dvarim Shel Mavakach? Or Divrei Chol? Or Divrei Historia? Right? It's this. This says the prescribed, there's two different aspects to a Sefer Torah. It has a formal tzura called Sefer, and it has a content of Shal of Emes. The Megillah, how do you know it as a formal tzura? That's from Sefer. And that's Dio and Gvil and Klaf. But that has nothing to do with Sirtut. How do you know that it has the content of Emes? How do you know the content of the Megillah is equivalent to the content of the Torah, for that matter? Probably equivalent to the content of the rest of Nach. After all, Megillah doesn't have Shem Hashem. Right? It's a machlokas in the old days. I mean, our old days. In the Gemara's old days. Whether it's part of Tanakh or not, right? Is Esther Matamis Yadayim? Is Esther Baruch HaKodesh? Namor is all a machlokas in the sense of Megillah. How do you know if the content of Megillah is of ultimate significance or not? That's Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. Shrichem Sirtut Ka'amita Shel Torah. Not like the Tzura of the Chetz of Torah. Like the content of the Torah. And this is very meduyak. Because the Rishalmi darshan's two, the Babli darshan is one thing for Shalom Ve'emes. The Rishalmi darshan's two things. What are the two things the Rishalmi darshan's? Number one, it's Sirtut like Torah, like Amitah Shel Torah. And number two, what else the Rishalmi darshan? Nitna the darish. You can darshan the Megillah like you can darshan the Torah. Darshan the Megillah has nothing to do with the formal scroll. Darshan the Megillah has to do with the content, right? If there's one aspect which has nothing to do with the formal cheftza that you use for the mitzvah, and only has to do with the pure content, it's whether you darshan it. Because you don't darshan the physical thing, you darshan the intellectual content of the words. Right? You can darshan it like the Torah, and need sirtut like the Torah. What's the risk of saying? Yeah, sirtut goes with darshaning, not with yo and klaf. Sirtut is not a formal part of the hefza. Sirtut is a property of words of supernal significance. Right? Of words of emes. Emes, not in the sense of, is it true that Reuben lent $100 to Shimon? Emes in the more ultimate sense. And I think this Brisker Rav and the Rambam is super meduyah. Super meduyah. And the Rambam says, the Brisker Rav, he says very pasha, because Sefer, that has to do with the Suras HaChetza. And that has to do with things like Joe and Klaf and Vil, Joe, Klaf, Vichuli. But, right, MS, Divrei Shalom MS, that has to do with the Tochen. Is it words of Torah or not words of Torah? And the Brisker Rav doesn't say this, and I don't know why. If I was writing the Brisker Rav, I would have added. And after all, look in Gittin at Rav Yisrael the Masnisa. Even three or four words in a letter need Tzuritot. Why? Because they're a formal Tzura of something? Or because they have Tochen of Torah? Because they have Tochen of Torah. I would have wanted to add this to the Brisker Rav. He doesn't add this. But I would say, Pashen, Emes is about the Tochen, and the Tochen is what's requires Tzuritot and Drasha. And what's the rise of the Brisker Rav Yisod? It's very beautiful. There's one part of the Maseches Megillah which deals with the formal tzura of the Sefer. Sefer, Igeres, Ksiva, Ksiva, what ink, what writing materials, what paper, not paper, but etc. What surface, etc. There's another part which deals with how holy are the words. In the Yerushalmi, can you darshan them? And they need Sirta, because Sirta has to do with the holiness of the words, not with the formal tzura of the Sefer. And his rayas are, the Rambam says, as opposed to Rashi, and as opposed to the Rambam himself when he discussed Yom Klaf, he says Torah Atzma, not Sefer Torah. And the Yerushalmi, which combines Sirta with Drusha, when Drusha clearly has to do with Tochen and not with Tzura. And I would add to the Brisker Rav, the Gemara in Gittin, right? Again, maybe someone will tell me they know why the Brisker Rav didn't say this. I think he could have. He says, look at the Gemara in Gittin. Sirtut is not a din. Sirtut is not a din in a formal chetza of something. Sirtut is a din of words of Torah, whether you write them in blue ink or black ink or green ink, whether you write them on cloth, whether you write them on paper. And if you, in the Rambam's Lashon, the answer says, all kisvei HaKodesh, even if you write them on paper, need sirtut. Right? Meaning, not only tefillin mezuzah. All words of Kisvei HaKodesh, no matter how you write them, the Tochen needs Sirtut. So, that's the Brisker Rav's Rayas.
So how does this connect up to mezuzah better than...
Give it. No, this is the...
And
it doesn't connect to mezuzah. The whole point is, if you assume like the other Rishon Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, why do you need Rishon and MS? Why not Sefer? So you have two answers, and I think the grid is better. Here you have a weakness. Here you have, what are the Rav ones, Rayas? Number one, the Lashon of Torah Atzma. Number two, the Yerushalmi of Drusha, that's his Turayas, and I would just add number three, Sugya, our Sugya, which says that Sirtut is a din in any words of Torah. And maybe for the Rambam, there aren't Tzmi din and one din of Sirtut of three words of Torah and another din of Sirtut on formal scrolls. So only one din of Sirtut on words of Torah. Okay, what I want to come back to next time, I apologize for going over, is please take the next Makoros. We'll see how far we can get in the next Makoros, but obviously first we have to finish this Makoros. I want to summarize how many dinim of Sirtut are there according to each of these shitas, and like we put the Chaim on the board already. What's the point of Sirtut? Is the point of Sirtut to have a certain formal tzura of the Sefer? Is the point of Sirtut to make it easy to read? Is the point of Sirtut to differentiate between Divrei Torah and other things, etc.? So we'll pick up with the rest of these details, Amir Tzashan, next time. So what did we do and what